You're listening to Vermont Edition. I'm Nina Keck. Thomas Christopher Green is the president of the Vermont College of Fine Arts, which he helped to found 6 years ago. He's also a well-regarded novelist. His latest book is out this week, and it's generating quite a bit of buzz. It's called The Headmaster's Wife. Before she went on maternity leave, VPR's Jane Lindholm spoke with Green about his novel's provocative plot.
Your novel starts with your main protagonist taking off all of his clothes and walking through Central Park in the snow, where he's picked up by the police and starts telling his story. What a compelling way to start a novel. What made you think of that?
Well, the novel is about a headmaster who his world is kind of dissolving around him. And in some ways, what a more literal interpretation of that than actually stripping yourself of the veneers you've built over the years in such a public place like Central Park.
He's the headmaster of Lancaster School on the banks of the Connecticut River in Vermont. And I have to say, your assessment of New England boarding school life is uncanny. How did you get under the skin of a school like that to understand the faculty and its inner workings in a New England prep school?
Well, when I was 16 years old, I left Worcester, Massachusetts public schools for a small boarding school in Connecticut, and having not sort of grown up in that world, it was a shock to me, you know, to sort of enter it and to understand it. So I always saw it as a teenager through an outsider's eyes. And years later, I think I was able to get back into that frame of mind and really kind of understand it. And in many ways, Lancaster School is a fictitious school, obviously, but a lot of its sort of landscape is very similar to Suffield Academy in Connecticut, where I spent 2 years of my teenage life. And I think there's a line in there that he says the politics at secondary schools are so bad because the stakes are so low. There is always sort of the petty politics and understanding how to negotiate the kind of Byzantine world that is education when you get into residential education experience like that.
So the headmaster of the headmaster's wife, Arthur Winthrop, as you said, he's having a pretty devastating year, which appears to include an affair with a student named Betsy Pappas. Can you describe Arthur's obsession with her?
Arthur returns to the classroom at the beginning of the novel as he's telling his story. He returns to the classroom, and he sees this girl in his class, an 18-year-old girl, and he becomes fixated on her in an obsessive way, and he doesn't really know why. He doesn't know what's happening to him, but it becomes an all-consuming obsession. He is someone who has always been very buttoned down, who has spent his whole life, you know, living the life of a headmaster and all the propriety that goes into that. And suddenly, there's this change that happens from the smallest of gestures, this young woman pushing her hair behind her ear. And from there, everything begins really to unravel for him.
And Betsy Pappas is not necessarily the student that one would think of that would turn the eye of a red-blooded man. I mean, you mentioned that he's turned towards her by the way she tucks her hair behind her ears, but he even describes her as not exactly a beauty at first glance.
No, he says she's not, not remarkable in the obvious ways. And so for him, it's somewhat of a mystery what's driving him, but yet he can't stop. And a lot of this novel is, in some ways, about obsessions and about what drives us and what moves us. And so there's a mystery there. Why is he falling for Betsy? Why is she so important to him? Why is she changing his world at this point in time as a 59-year-old man who has lived a certain way his entire life and is about ready maybe to throw it all away for something that feels like a lark?
And Betsy Pappas, describe her. She's a scholarship student from northern Vermont, kind of an outsider, like you said you were, to this preppy New England boarding school world.
Yeah, she's a scholarship student from Craftsbury, Vermont, who's very bright, very intelligent, and her parents think that there's a bigger world for her out there and that the school can't keep up with her intellect. And so they look at a number of boarding schools, and she's very attracted to the idea of boarding school because she's attracted to the idea of reinvention. She's attracted to the idea of being something that she currently isn't and becoming a different person, becoming a woman, really, and what that means as she evolves and changes and gets away from the nest, if you will. And so that's really her motivation in going to Lancaster School in the first place.
You mentioned that there's some mystery as to why Arthur Winthrop is falling for Betsy Pappas. And it's difficult to talk about a novel like this because you want to talk about the whole plot, but you don't want to give everything away. And there is some mystery here. How do you even describe to people what the book's about?
It's very hard. I mean, what I have described to people, and I think I can say this much, is that You know, it is about a dissolution of a very proud man, this book. It's about someone really falling apart at the seams. The early reviews keep saying, you know, nothing is what it appears in this novel. And so it is also in some ways a novel about artifice and a novel about memory. But it's a novel about a headmaster who believes he's having an affair with a student.
At the end of the book, in your acknowledgments, you describe how this book came to life.
Mm-hmm.
And it started during a very difficult time in your life when your daughter was born too early and you were spending a lot of time in the NICU at Dartmouth-Hitchcock.
Correct.
How did the book come to you there?
Well, I was initially writing a novel. I wanted to write a novel with the Iraq War as a backdrop. And I didn't know enough about Iraq or being in Iraq to write about that experience in any kind of first way or authentic way. So I wanted to write about what it was for a soldier who came home and have everything change. And that was the novel I started writing when I was in the NICU. And our daughter Jane lived for 6 months, which is an extraordinary time in the NICU, and she died. She was never out of the hospital other than a trip from Dartmouth-Hitchcock to Boston where her life ended. And I had a lot of time. I had a lot of time sitting by her bedside and times when she was sleeping, and I was writing there. And I really began, particularly after she died, to reframe the book as a novel in some ways about grief and what it means to lose a child. And I couldn't write about my own experience directly other than, say, a memoir, but I could draw on those kind of universal feelings, I think, to try to capture in this book. And I think I say in the acknowledgement that this is the most honest thing I've ever written. And I didn't mean that to mean that it's an autobiographical novel, because it's not. But it's honest, I think, in the way that art sort of deliberately obfuscates something in order to find a deeper truth and a more honest truth. And I felt like I did that more in this book than I've ever done it before.
Was it your grief that you were able to pour into the novel, or was it a way to have a perspective beyond it?
Yeah, I think it was both. I was able to pour my own grief into it, I mean, directly. And I really did it more through the character of Elizabeth, who's the headmaster's wife. And I don't think it gives too much away to say that she was grieving in this novel and that you end up discovering that as a key piece of the book. People are probably going to draw obvious parallels between a headmaster of a Vermont school and the president of a Vermont college as being the parallel characters. In many ways, Elizabeth is a lot closer to me in terms of the way she thinks and the way she was processing and functioning. And so there are pieces and passages in there about her grief that are very real to my own experience and what I learned. And from talking to other people who've gone through similar experiences, there is a kind of universality to this and to what happens and to the process of it. And I tried my best to sort of capture all of that, particularly through her eyes.
You're the founding president of the Vermont College of Fine Arts. How do you juggle your writing, and I guess we could include also your family life, with the full-time duties of being a college president, particularly of a college that's really still establishing itself?
Well, it hasn't been easy. I mean, when I was writing before I started the college, you know, I published a book every 2 years. I have not published a book in 7 years. It just takes a lot longer. But I actually also think in some ways, it was better that way. I really paid a lot of attention. I really focused so hard on the language and on getting the story right and the structure and wanting the whole thing to hold together.
Well, I really enjoyed reading the novel. It's called The Headmaster's Wife. Tom, thank you very much for speaking with me about it.
Oh, Jane, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
That was novelist Thomas Christopher Green, president of the Vermont College of Fine Arts, speaking with VPR's Jane Lindholm. Green's book, The Headmaster's Wife, is out this week.